I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Saturday, March 11th. Today, we're talking about one of the most commonly used tools in messaging conversations around the globe, emojis. Those little cartoon characters on our phones and social media apps help us convey emotion and tone in our messages and posts. But for as whimsical and entertaining as they can be, emojis also have the power to be misunderstood or even offensive. Certain emojis can be interpreted differently across different cultures and generations. Yeah, what you think is a nice show of support here in the US could be sexual innuendo somewhere else. And what are the rules about using them at work, especially since younger people tend to use and interpret them very differently than their older colleagues? Here to help us better understand and utilize emojis in our everyday, and even explain the ways they can be controversial, is the man credited as the world's first ever emoji translator, Keith Broney. He oversees a team that researches emoji usage and trends and monitors changes to emoji design sets in his role as the editor-in-chief of Emojipedia. Here's our conversation. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Keith, thank you so much for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
My pleasure to be here.
Emoji can mean different things in different cultures. Can you give us some examples?
One of the best examples that I always go back to here is how different hand gestures have historically meant different things across different cultures. And the same thing is the case for emoji versions of those hand gestures. So the thumbs up can be a pretty offensive gesture in some cultures. The AOK sign, the same thing. So these are hand gestures that are fairly, you know, benign or innocuous in many Western cultures, but can be construed as being incredibly offensive in other cultures. And that's something that you have to keep in mind when you're communicating across, you know, digital platforms with a potentially global audience.
Yeah, I think I read that the clapping emoji in the US, you know, is celebration, or you're clapping for someone, but in other cultures, it can have sexual innuendo. Is that right?
That is true. And if you think about it, I mean, that's a kind of a sonic reference that's happening there. And emojis can kind of pick up a lot of different references depending on the kind of wider context in which people are experiencing them.
Tech companies have come out, like Apple, have come out with new emoji over time that have meant to be more diverse and gender inclusive. What's your take on those efforts and their impact?
If you think about it, the emoji keyboard is seen by billions of people every single day. And when we think about how people are using emojis, they want to use them to complement the words they're using to describe the world around them, who they are, how they feel. And it's very, very important that users are able to see themselves and their cultures in the emoji keyboard to as much an extent as a kind of, a pictographic system that's intended to be placed in line with text really can.
Is there a certain emoji etiquette when it comes to, say, skin tone? Should we be using the skin tone that we are, the receiver is, a variety? What's your take on that?
So this is something that is actually quite hotly debated, because the default skin tone color is a yellow, a kind of a cartoonish yellow, kind of emulating the original kind of smiley face design that predates emojis. But if you actually look at usage trends in relation to the skin tone options, very few people actually opt to use the kind of paler skin tones to represent themselves if they happen to be Caucasian, because they feel catered for by the default yellow emoji. While you do find more and more people of color actually seek out the variety of different skin tone modifiers to actually represent themselves or their peers. So there's a bit of a controversy there in terms of, is this the right system? Or even, well, if I do opt to choose one of the paler skin tones, am I highlighting my race in a way that is maybe unnecessary or feels a little bit odd if I'm talking to, say, someone who happens to be of a different race? So there is actually quite a bit of discussion in relation to emoji etiquette.
Which brings me to the generational gaps. And how does that play out in places like the workplace?
These generational gaps, like, they do exist. They're not as well pronounced as you may think. The rule of thumb, though, that we have kind of landed upon at Emojipedia over the last number of years is that the older the individual, the more likely they are to use an emoji quite literally. So it is depicting exactly what it is intended to depict. While younger generations tend to get a little bit more creative and playful with their emoji usage, they're imbuing much more meanings. There's a lot more, you know, unspoken kind of references relating to different kind of pop culture properties or world events that maybe aren't being propagated in the same circles or on the same platforms that older generations are using. So it's not strictly about the generation, but it's about where certain generations are talking to one another and how they're adopting the emoji keyboard to suit their needs. One of the classic examples, of course, these days is the skull emoji being, you know, used as a laughter emoji because it's emulating the slang for phrase I'm dying laughing, which again gets, you know, shortened to I'm dead, which then gets shortened to skull emoji at the end of a message, you know. This has actually contributed to the crying laughing face emoji kind of beginning to decline in popularity. Now, it's still the world's number one. People still use it to an extraordinary extent all across the globe to convey a sense of laughter or amusement. But it has been declining since the summer of 2019, as in particular, younger generations look for alternatives because they think it's perhaps a little passé. And that's not the case for, say, older generations who have kind of settled on this emoji's utility in this space. But the younger you are, the more you're likely to go, actually, I want to try something new. And this is not a new phenomenon. This is slang 101.
Right. Even saying, you know, people today say fit for outfit. It's the same kind of thing.
Language is constantly evolving. People want to be able to describe their experience in a way that speaks to their peers. And very often people get creative with that language to really create a sense of an in-group, a rapport with, you know, their friends or a wider audience amongst their generation.
Still ahead, certain emojis can make you seem passive-aggressive, even if that was not your intent. Keith Brony and I talk about emoji mistakes people make and how to avoid them. Plus his take on whether emojis can transcend language barriers. And he shares which emoji is his personal favorite. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. The Newsworthy is brought to you by ZocDoc. Have you ever gone down a Google or social media rabbit hole looking for answers about a health concern? I know I have. And most of the time, it's not all that helpful. Or I find a bunch of conflicting information and feel confused. Or I realize there are a bunch of so-called experts who don't really have the credentials I can trust. So if you need answers from someone that is not random on the internet and want a trusted professional, ZocDoc is here to help. You can find a bunch of medical professionals that specialize in the care you need, and you can see their patient reviews right there on ZocDoc before you book. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. Go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. And thanks to our other sponsor, Indeed. In addition to your daily news roundups, if you are looking for a roundup of great candidates to hire in your business, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Sponsor a job and boom, Instant Match shows you candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately after you post. And yes, it's important that the people you are looking for you in the same place. Well, get this, 81% of U.S. online job seekers search for jobs on Indeed each month, according to Comscore. Indeed knows that when you're doing everything for your company, you can't afford to overspend on hiring. So visit Indeed.com/newsworthy to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/newsworthy. Indeed.com/newsworthy. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, now back to my conversation with Keith Broney from Emojipedia. Can emojis ever transcend language barriers and actually help communication when we don't speak the same language?
Absolutely. I mean, given their pictographic nature, emojis can act somewhat as a bit of a visual lingua franca. But that's not to say they will completely transcend language and they will be used to create meaning unto themselves, devoid of any other text-based communication. I mean, there's a lot of linguistic researchers looking into the question, well, are emoji a language? Could they ever constitute a language? Emoji don't have grammar. And if you actually look at how people do use emoji, yes, you'll see maybe a string of certain emojis together without any text. But that almost always directly follows a message that contains text, and it's there to respond to it. It's there to act as a form of digital laughter or digital dignification, kind of a playful response. But emojis are there to complement our languages. They're not there to replace them.
Do you think we need to think more about what emoji we're using if we are reacting on, say, Slack, you know, the workplace messaging platform, with an emoji? Like, what should people keep in mind? Do they need to be concerned that they're going to offend someone, or that it's going to be a different generation? You know, they're going to interpret it differently.
One thing to really keep in mind is, most likely, worst case scenario, there'll be a mild faux pas where someone will perhaps think the emoji that you used is maybe a little passive aggressive. This is something that we do see between generations, where a slightly smiling face, so the very, very mild smile, or even a thumbs up, are construed as being passive aggressive, low effort responses to, you know, a message that someone has sent you. Now, that's not exclusively the emoji's fault itself. It's more an expectation on the part of the sender of the initial message to be able to receive kind of a more considered response to their initial message. The emoji happens to just be the vehicle in which people are being very quickly responded to. What I would say in the case of the smiling faces is there's so many different, really, really expressive smiling faces on the emoji keyboard. If you're genuinely pleased with what someone has told you, go for one of the ones with the wider eyes, the wider mouth, the bigger smile than just the very, very slight smile. Because people can construe this as base level politeness done out of obligation, as opposed to a genuine expression of positivity.
Any other common emoji mistakes or myths that we haven't talked about yet?
Biggest one is to make sure that you are not unintentionally being passive aggressive in your emoji usage. If in doubt, go big. But also be very aware that you shouldn't just go so big that you're using a barrage of emojis. People don't use them in that way. They're used for emotional clarity. So a well-placed single emoji is much more powerful than a barrage of emojis in response to a certain message, especially in the workplace.
What's the origin story with where emojis come from?
So what we consider modern emojis have their origin in mid-1990s, late 1990s Japan, where people using very, very early pagers and then early mobile phones were able to send small little pictographs to one another across the devices. And of course, if you get into kind of messaging platforms that were used across the wider world, such as AOL Messenger and MSN, we begin to see like emoji-like things during the 2000s and into the 2010s. But once the modern emoji was encoded in the digital encoding system called the Unicode standard in 2010. They began to emerge across all of our different smartphones from that year onwards. And that's when they really exploded in global popularity.
Do you have any information by chance of how much or how often they're used now compared to even 5 years ago?
Emoji usage has actually been growing year on year, basically since they were first introduced. According to research we've actually done on Emojipedia, emojis have never been more popular across social platforms than they are right now today.
Do you have a favorite emoji?
I do have a favorite emoji. It is the partying face. So the smiley face with the party hat on and the streamer in its mouth. I just feel it's a fairly universally well understood positive response, really encapsulating joy and celebration.
Do you have a least favorite emoji?
I don't have a least favorite emoji. I love them all equally, even the ones that people will look at and go, why is this here? Why do we have this amount of trains and this amount of boats and what have you?
Any final thought or takeaway?
Absolutely. Emoji use will always reflect the world in which they're being used. They'll be adopted in new and different ways that even I, who work on this all day, every day, could probably not even imagine right now.
Well, thank you so much to Keith Brony and Emojipedia for joining us for what I thought was a fascinating conversation about something we use every day. If you enjoyed it too, please be sure to share it with a friend. And of course, follow Keith Brony on social media. And get detailed definitions of what every emoji means, as well as updates about new emojis and the latest trends in this space at emojipedia.org. That'll do it for us today. Tune in every weekday to the Newsworthy's regular episodes where we bring you the day's stories you need to know in our signature 10-minute roundups. So we'll be back on Monday with your news. Until then, have a great weekend.